So today, once again, Missionary Enterprises Bible School of Kenya, in association with Evangel Church World Vision. So this is with our brothers and sisters in Bungoma, Kenya, Africa. Today we are Sunday, November 10th, 2019. And the key topic today is your commitment to God. Your commitment to God. Your being committed or loyal. Your loyalty to God, first and foremost. So the first thing I wrote here is that the key to a faithful commitment, not just any kind of commitment, but a faithful commitment to God, not to a human being, to God, can only be attained in our faithful relationship with Him. Our faithful relationship with Him. Of course, the word relationship carries the word relation, how you relate. You know, people relate to one another differently. And we need to relate with God as God relates with us. My next point here is all relationships, all, must be built as well as nurtured over a period of time. You will never have a strong, healthy relationship. Never, 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 unless you know how to build it and nurture it. Feed it. Feed it. We talked about that yesterday with a sister from Nigeria. The word father, the Greek word is the word pater. One of the key definitions is to nurture. That's the one of the key words for the word father, to father somebody. Fathering, it's an action, it's a verb. So my next point is here is any true long-lasting relationship between human beings, not even between God with us, but between human beings demand this key element called commitment. You got to commit yourself to something, to a relationship, if you're going to see that relationship bear fruit. If you're going to see that relationship go somewhere, especially when it comes to matrimony, with your children, and the ministry, especially, even work, even at the workplace. So in other words, you need to be committed to the relationship. Yeah. So a lot of play on words here, but that's just the way I teach. And the next one here is the greatest relationship you could ever commit yourself to is to God, to the God of the Holy Bible. To the God of the Holy Bible. Once you're saved, who happens to be invisible, yet He lives within you. So you need to commit to this relationship with God, who happens to be invisible, yet at the same time He happens to live on the inside of you. So you're having a relationship with somebody who's very close to you, who happens to be, now of course God is in heaven, but we're talking about God the Holy Spirit, who indwells each person who is born of the Spirit, who indwells their recreated spirit. So I wrote here, and this relationship or commitment has to do with you, and just as an example, we're not going to get into this today, but just an example, God as your God, it's your God. A lot of people have different gods out there, false gods. God as your Father. God as your provider. Then we get into Jesus as your Savior, Jesus as your Lord, Jesus as your elder brother. That was a new one for me. Starting back in 2007, 2008, where I discovered that Jesus was the firstborn. Jesus is my elder brother, and I never had a brother. I always wanted a brother, and I discovered in 2007 I had a brother. Invisible, but he was very real, and he began to minister to me on that level as a brother, as brothers. Of course, he's my elder brother, so I need to listen to him because he's my Lord too, but he's my elder brother and he's full of counsel, full of wisdom. Jesus is my healer. Jesus as my deliverer. Then we also have regarding the Holy Spirit as your helper, as your guide, as your teacher, and so much more. So much more. Yeah. And we're not even going to touch on this today. No. I just want to give an example. So, basic definitions. Just some basic definitions of these two key words. First one is commitment. The word commitment basically has dedication. That's a big word right there, to dedicate yourself. Dedication to a long-term course of action, engagement, as well as involvement. All key words concerning your relationship with God. Then we've got the other word, relationship. Commitment, relationship. I don't know if they're synonymous, but they work together. Relationship, well, you got the word connected. Connected, to connect, right? Something that connects. A continuing attachment. There you go, connect, attach, right? Or association between persons. Now, that's according to Webster's. And of course, this whole teaching is basically regarding God. Our relationship with God, our commitment to God. God is committed to our relationship. God is committed to us, and we should be as much committed to Him. We should be. It's got to be reciprocal, you know, if it's going to go anywhere. So I wrote here, you cannot build a strong, vital relationship or commitment with anyone unless you have, to some degree, some things in common that you both agree with. It's impossible. It's impossible. Whether you're saved or not, it doesn't matter. Whether it's at the workplace, at home, family, friends, just sports, there's got to be some common ground. There's got to be some common ground, and you build off of that. Before I got saved, I tell you, don't try to become a friend with me if you're not listening to the same music and not into music. If you didn't listen to the same guitar players, if you didn't do drugs, if you didn't drink, if you didn't, you know, I wanted nothing to do with you. I just want to hang around with people that have something in common with, you know. I was telling David here, I said, you know, before I got saved, I was a drug addict. I just was. I never put needles in me, but I was addicted to drugs and a lot of other things. But I never saw my friends as drug addicts because I was a drug addict. So, you know, but now that I'm born again, a drug addict is that's an easy one for me. But even when you got carnal Christians, you know, to me, I see carnal Christians everywhere because I've grown up so much in the things of the Lord. All right. So also I wrote here, coming in full agreement with His word. Whose word? God's word is key. To a strong, vital relationship with the Godhead. It's so key. And I don't really have time to get into that too much today. But that's what God taught me in 2007 regarding His Word. Now, the first reference here we have here concerning all of this is Amos 3:3, Old Testament. It says here, do two walk together, or can two people or more walk together except they make an appointment and have agreed. Okay, so there's got to be an agreement if you're going to walk together. So my next verse here is Hebrews, Old New Testament, Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please and be satisfactory to Him, God. For whoever would come near to God must necessarily believe that God exists. But this is so misleading. Very misleading. As a believer, you know that He exists. And God showed me this quite a few years ago. I'm going to finish it here. That God says, God is who He says He is. And that He is a rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek Him out. And God gave me that one day. I still remember I was in my room. I was praying, and I had the Amplified with me, and I was meditating Hebrews 11:6 because I was seeking God. And He gave me that. Must believe that He is who He says He is. I had never heard that before. And then quite a few years later, Dave Roberson was teaching on this, and he had the same revelation. It's like, wow. And if you look it up in the Greek, basically, that's what it's saying in the Greek. So not that God exists, but God is who he says he is. All right? This is very key to, we have to become convinced that God is who he says he is. He's our Father. Once you're born again, he's your healer. He's your provider. A lot of people don't believe. They're not convinced that God is their healer. Because if they were, they wouldn't be running to the hospital. They wouldn't be running to the doctor. They'd be going to the Word, and God would heal them because he's already healed them, positioning at the cross. So, another aspect of commitment in the context of a relationship is trust, faith, believing. We just touched on that, right? Hebrews 11:6. Faith, trust. You'll never grow anywhere. I tell you, you'll never go anywhere with anybody if you don't have trust towards one another. You know? How can a man and a woman grow in their relationship if one is not trusting the other one when it comes to sexual purity? Forget it. You know? It's the same thing in ministry. How can you work with somebody when you don't trust them to do the right thing when you're not together? Let's say they're, you know, it's time to, okay, it's getting late at night and you're halfway across the world and, you know, you've got your separate rooms and, you know, just as an example, it's a big one, and I don't just use it because of my personal situation, but how can you trust somebody when you know that other person has problems with the internet, whether it's pornography or whether it's watching bad movies or just not doing the right things on their own? Like, I mean, you know, like with me, you can trust me that when it's time to go to bed, I'm going to go to bed. I'm not going to start doing stuff. Or if it's time to pray, okay, you know, go to your room, pray, I'm going to pray, whatever. You know, when Pierre says, I'm going to pray, we know that Pierre is praying. I can trust him. I know him. You can't trust somebody unless you know them. A lot of people don't trust God as believers because they don't know him. They don't know him intimately. So, my next reference is Ephesians 2:18. I love these two verses. Next two verses here in Ephesians. They've helped me a lot over the years. For it is through him, through Jesus, that we both, whether far off or near, Jew, Gentile, now have an introduction or have access by one Spirit who lives on the inside of us to the Father in heaven, so that we are able to approach him. Very powerful. And the next one is Ephesians, still in Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 12. In whom, in Christ, because of our faith in Christ, we dare to have the boldness, the courage, the confidence, a free access, an unreserved approach to God with freedom and without fear. No fear. Okay, boldness. So I wrote here, the relationship or the commitment that Jesus in his humanity had with God, as well as with his Father, which are the same, but two different aspects of God, is our prime example, our primary example. The relationship that Jesus had belongs to me. It just belongs to me. The way Jesus related to God, and as he related to his Father, God as his Father, it belongs to me. All right? Because of many verses, but the key one here is John 20:17. It says here, Jesus said here to the woman, do not hold me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. This is after the resurrection. This is post-resurrection. But go to my brethren, not to my disciples. She referred to him as his disciples, but he said to go to my brethren, brothers, and tell them, I am ascending, ascension, to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Don't have time to get into that. I'll be doing a whole, at least one video out of this eventually. So I wrote here, Jesus spent much time with his first disciples. With his first disciples for obvious reasons, but even more so, he spent much time with his Father in order to know as well as carry out his will, the will of his Father, according to His will. You know, did you know that you can know the will of God? God can reveal something to you, and you end up carrying it out, or you end up accomplishing it according to your own will, which is not His will. Because when God reveals His will to you, He will also reveal to you how to carry it out. That's found in Sonship, that's found in John 5. Jesus only did what He saw His Father doing. So God the Father would reveal something to Jesus, but He would tell Him how to do it. How to do it, how to go about it, and not do it. Of course, Jesus didn't have the flesh like we do, but we got flesh, and our flesh gets in the way a lot of times. And that's got to change. I wrote here, the Gospel of John, especially chapters 14 to 16, is full of examples. I wrote example here regarding all of this. If you read through 14 to 16, chapters 14 to 16, there's all kinds of great references in there, how Jesus related to the Father, to God in His humanity, His relationship with the Holy Spirit, the believer, their relationship with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. It's packed. It's packed. There's a lot of stuff in there to meditate, to assimilate. We're going to look at here John 4, 34. Jesus said this, "My food, my nourishment is to do the will, the pleasure of Him," His Father God, "who sent me and to accomplish and completely finish His work." Because that's what we're going to give an account of one day. God calls us to do something, and He expects us to do it His way. It's His way, or to some degree, the highway. God will deal with you. He'll be patient towards you. But after a while, God's going to just say, "You want to do things your own way? Then you go ahead, free moral agent," and God's going to choose somebody else to get His work done. And that's what I'm planning on doing. I'm planning on doing things exactly His way. John 5, 19, 20, and 30. Verse 19. "So Jesus answered them by saying, 'I assure you, most solemnly, I tell you, the Son is able to do nothing of Himself, of His own accord.'" He didn't say He does not want to do anything of Himself. He said He can't do anything. He is able to do nothing of Himself. He can't. "But He is able to do only what He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does is what the Son does in the same way in His turn. Likewise." That belongs to all of us. 99.9% of the church is not even near it. You'll never walk in this unless you walk in the new man. Verse 20, "The Father dearly loves the Son and discloses to, shows Him everything that He Himself does, and He will disclose to him. Let him see greater things yet than these, so that you, the world, may marvel and be full of wonder and astonishment." Verse 30, Jesus goes on saying, "I am able to do nothing from Myself, independently of My own accord, but only as I am taught by God, as I get His orders." Oh, yeah, the Father gave Jesus orders? Huh. You better believe it. A lot of Christians don't like orders. Well, you know what? That's too bad. Read the Bible. God is into giving orders because He's God. And if you have a carnal mindset towards His orders, then those orders are going to become grievous. They're just going to become like a burden. When God gives me an order now, it's like a joy. Because He's God, I'm not. See? "As the voice comes to me, so I give a decision, and My judgment is righteous, because I do not seek or consult My own will. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to Myself, My own aim, My own purpose, but only to do the desire to do only the will and pleasure of the Father who sent Me." You know, you'll always have a problem with the will of God as long as you want to do your own will. You'll always have a problem. And you know what? God won't be able to get much work done through you, and you're going to give an account of that one day. Yeah, believe it or not, that's where you're going to give an account of more than anything else. Was I able to accomplish my will through you? Not only revealing my will to you, but accomplishing it the way I want to do it. Yeah, we're going to give, that's what we're going to give an account. That's where you're going to lose rewards, and that's where you have your works burned up if you're not doing things according to his will and as he wills. John 12, chapter 12, 49 to 50. Let's look at 49. This is because I have never spoken on my own authority or my own accord or as self-appointed, but the Father who sent me has himself given me orders concerning what to say and what to tell, as well as what not to say. I tell you, I am so, sometimes I go to witness and I'm going, unless you give me a word, specific word, I'm keeping my mouth shut because I want you, you know exactly what they need to hear. You know exactly what they need to hear, and that's going to minister to them more than anything else. You know, verse 50, and I know that his commandment is eternal life, or means eternal life. So whatever I speak, I am saying exactly what my Father has told me to say, and in accordance with his instructions, commands, orders, all synonymous. God gives instructions. Yeah, a lot of believers don't like getting instructions at all from people. But God gives us instructions. But he leaves it up to us to do them or not do them, because we're free moral. He'll never force you. He never will. He may get on you for a while. He may bug you. He may convict you. But if you're not going with what he's instructing you to do, you know what? Eventually, he's going to leave you alone. But he's always there. You're the one who's hardening your heart towards him. John 14, 31. But Satan is coming, and I do as the Father has commanded me. There it is again. So that the world may know, be convinced that I love the Father, and that I do only what the Father has instructed me to do. I act in full agreement with his orders. Rise, let us go away from here. I just want to share this. I shared this with a sister of ours yesterday. God is a God of relationship. So every time he gives you a word, an order, an instructions, a command, he gives it to you in context of relationship. And I shared with her what helped me a lot to understand years ago why I did what I did, how I rebelled against my parents, all that, from Josh McDowell, who had said, rules, regulations without relationship leads to rebellion. So there's got to be, when God gives you orders to do something, it's in a relationship, context of relationship. But if you're not in a good place of relationship with him, you're going to take it in a whatever. You're going to take it wrong. I used to take things wrong from the Lord years ago. I used to take it things in a condescending way, whatever. But the whole time, God was trying to relate with me, you know. And then when I started realizing God was telling me to do this and do that and don't do that anymore and don't wear that anymore and get your hair cut and get rid of the earrings, I realized afterwards when I did it, reluctantly at times, I realized it was for my good. Because when I got rid of my long hair, it was great. I saw the freedom, got rid of the earrings, a lot of stuff, you know. Final notes is this. One of the most important things, or the most important thing that you will need to always keep in mind regarding all of this is this, all right? Number one, there's someone out there, meaning the devil, the god of this world, Satan, demons, who will do all they can to stop you from building a strong, vital relationship or fellowship and commitment with and to God. Because the stronger your relationship is with God, the more God will be able to accomplish through you, in you and through you. And the devil don't want that at all. Number two is the very same thing applies to certain people that are in your life, your circle of influence. There will always be people in your life that even have good intentions, that will discourage you or will not encourage you to pursue this relationship with this invisible God of the Holy Bible. All right? I've been there myself, and they don't do it, like sometimes they don't do it intentionally, but it's just, it takes you away from prayer. It takes you away from what you know you need to be doing because God gave you a vision. You need to get ready for it. There's a lot of things you need to do. You know, every promise, every vision that God gives you, it's conditional. You know, God will do his part, but you got to do your part. You got to get ready for it, you know. So I wrote here, the final comment, final note is, this is why I teach strong on the need to guard your time in the Word. Guard your time in the Word, meditating it rightly divided, not just meditating in general, but rightly divided the Word, as well as guarding your prayer life, which includes not just praying in tongues, but includes praying much in tongues, because prayer, it involves more than praying in tongues, but praying in tongues is a big part of it. But prayer is praying in your natural dialect. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14. He says, I'll pray my spirit, but I'll also pray with my mind, my understanding. So I was at a time where I only prayed in tongues, and I was no longer praying in English or French. And then God began to teach me, no, you need to pray my word. You need to pray my promises. You need to confess my word, different things like that. So a lot of times when I go to pray, it's not even prayer. It's confession time. Like my mom will say, you're going to go pray now? I said, no, I'm actually not going to go pray now. I'm going to go confess God's word. So that's a little bit different from prayer. So anyhow, I want to thank you for your time. And I want to thank you for everybody who's been following us. And who's on, whether it's live stream or videos, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, just social media, the whole thing. We got social media, we got a little bit there, yeah. So I want to thank you, and there's some great things coming up. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but God gave me a word the other day. But we're going to be doing, I said the other day when we're in Toronto, that our next video was going to be in Toronto, but things change. So this is our newer one, and then we're going to be doing, or should be doing another one tomorrow at Memorial Park in Oshawa here for Memorial Day for Canada. And then on Wednesday, we're going to be in Toronto and at the expo concerning media. So that's going to be another video we're going to be doing. So we're doing three videos this week, if you count Sunday as the part of the new week, which usually is. So thank you for your time.